just enjoy the presence of God like that and not want to get up and preach right at that moment. And the fire of God, the power of God. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And we've gone through the book of Ephesians for this past year, and we're coming to our last section on the book of Ephesians. And for me, it's been, even though I've studied the book of Ephesians before, this time around, I think I've personally grasped a lot more of the importance of the doctrine of what Jesus has done, the spiritual blessings, God's calling, God's election, redemption, being set free from our sins, the forgiveness of sins. And we look at the beginning of Ephesians, it's theological point after point after point, the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. And then we come into the middle of the book of Ephesians, and it begins to unpack God's plan for the church. That we're in a new part of living, a new way of living, a new way of functioning. It's the mystery of the gospel revealed. And then he moves into how we live that out in our lives. He talks about the practical side of how doctrine is applied. And then the last few weeks we've studied the spiritual armor. So the importance of that is that we get the doctrine, we get the practicalities of how we're supposed to live it out. But then we say, how can I continue to live it out? Because it is a spiritual battle that's fought in the spiritual realm. As Brian reiterated again, the problem is not with the physical, is not with people. It's what's going on in the spiritual realm. It's what's going on in my heart and my soul. And when we come to the last part of this book, Paul mentions a very interesting thing as far as his friend Tychicus. Everybody say that really quick five times. Tychicus. Okay, just kidding. How would you like a name like that? Tychicus was a wonderful brother in the Lord to Paul. He was with Paul, and he's mentioned five times throughout the New Testament. He was with Paul probably during the time when he was kicked out of a town because of that silversmith in Acts that was trying to get rid of him. He was with Paul in the ups and downs, and he was a ministry partner to him. And when we come to the book of Ephesians, Tychicus was writing down, as the Holy Spirit was giving Paul the words, and he says, Tychicus, I want you to go and deliver this to the Ephesian church. And it's highly likely and highly probable that this guy Tychicus got saved under Paul's ministry in Ephesus. And ever since then has worked with him and has traveled with him. And so he wraps this book up with a powerful word of encouragement. So as we go through the whole book of Ephesians, there's a lot of heavy doctrine, there's a lot of heavy application, there's the spiritual armor. And then he kind of does what I would call a recap, point by point, of what we need to pray for if we're to stand firm, if we're to keep our love for Jesus Christ. This fire that we're talking about, this surrender we're talking about, that's so hard for us to do on our own and keep on our own. And a lot of times we strive. But he gives us four practical things. There's really five, but one fits together as a combination in the blender of God's grace. But the first thing that I want to bring up is the final ingredients to pray for in order to stand in God's love. Now I want to ask you today to think, before we launch into this, how much do you love Jesus? If you were to rate on a meter of a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being pretty cold, 10 being hot, for your fire and your passion for Jesus Christ, where would you be? See, Christ Community Church, the way that we're going to continue to go on and to surrender and do what God has called us to do is if our love is hot for Jesus. If we have the living flame of love, if we have a fire in our hearts and in our soul and a passion for Jesus. And the way to keep that fire going, the way to keep that fan and moving along is real fellowship in Christ. And I think Paul put this by design, that he demonstrated the relationship that he had with Tychicus to show the importance of true fellowship in Jesus Christ.
basically to thank God for his church family. Now, when we talk about fellowship, it includes partnering with others as close friends in building God's church. Now, let me say that again. It's partnering with others as close friends, as intimate friends, as family-like friends to build the kingdom of God. How are you and I to keep our passion going? It is to unite with one another. So I want to ask you this morning, as you look around the brothers and sisters here, I love all the brothers and sisters, but do you know what's going on in their life? Do you know what they're doing for God right now? Do you know what the things are that are the concerns in their life that are going on right now? See, Paul and Tychicus had this kind of relationship. So we begin by reading in verse 21. He says, "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing." Two key things there. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. So real fellowship includes partnering with others in close friendships. Now, I'm not talking about casual friends where you kind of just bump into somebody and do those words like, "God bless you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, brother. Amen." Sorry, I didn't mean to drop your Bible. You look pretty in pink. Look, they're a duo this morning. Bless God. And then I walk away. "I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord." Yeah, we have all these Christian phrases that we speak out, but sometimes that's to the detriment of having real relationship, real connection, real friendship with one another. You want to know the greatest times of spiritual growth in my life is when friends that were real did not give up on me. They kept working and they kept pulling. They kept being loyal with all the times that they had to change my diaper, my spiritual diaper. Because there's a lot of immaturity. There's a lot of junk that needs to work out. We're talking about real friendship here. Tychicus was that kind of guy. He refers to him as beloved brother. Now, that's a hardcore family-like relationship. We're not just talking about, "Oh, I go to church with them." Or they sit on the left side of the church. I sit on the right side. Sometimes I try to mix things up just to, you know. We're talking about hardcore family. We're talking about hardcore relationship. And recently, I was just so touched by a good friend of mine recently, and I said, and we were discussing about different things going on, things like that. I said, "What would you do if I became a meth addict?" And I was kind of shocked with this friend's response, and he turned and said, "Well, I would come and kidnap you and tie you up, and I would feed you, and I would keep you there until you were clean, until you came to your senses." That's a depth of friendship that God has called us to be. That's a place where God has called us to be in the kingdom of God. Now, it's not friendship for the sake of just having friends here. You see, because he says he's a beloved brother, but he also says that he's a faithful minister. Now, if you would look to the person on your left and person on your right, there's a faithful minister sitting right there. Not just one up front behind the pulpit, as you just saw in the worship time. We could go all day with God sharing what he's put on your heart. You see, this kind of relationship is grounded. We come together and we grow in our friendship so that the kingdom of God can grow. It's so that we can preach the gospel. So it's a faithful minister. It's a hardcore loyalty and selflessness that we give our lives and our friendships over for the purpose of serving God in his kingdom. And then he says that phrase, "in the Lord." The relationship that we have with one another is not just a cool friendship. It is grounded, it's rooted, it's got its strength from, it's got its foundation from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, real fellowship, and here it is, folks, here's where it's going to be hard for all of us. Real fellowship includes both honestly communicating our condition to others and caring about the well-being of others. In other words, open sharing and caring. Look what he said. He said that I'm going to send Tychicus to you so that you know, one, how I am. That's my mental and emotional condition. That's what's going on in my life. That's where I'm struggling physically. But what I am doing. So there's two components to having this kind of relationship. And it involves open communication. You know, you can't just come to a church service and have open communication. It just doesn't work. It can't happen that way. You can't know what I'm doing to serve the Lord in my daily life. I can't know what you're doing to serve the Lord. So there's two things. I need to know how you're doing emotionally, spiritually, if I have this kind of relationship and care. You need to do the same for me. So there's that part of it. But then I need to know what you're doing for God. You know, part of the reasons why we have, and I would call this the meat of our joys and concerns, is for those of you that God has been working through you and you've been being a minister, a faithful minister of the gospel, you can come and share what God's been doing, what you've been doing for the kingdom of God. And so I would call that the meat of joys and concerns. Now, you know, there's time for prayer requests, and you know, sometimes, you know, I know in the past there's been some dramatic things and people want to share. So everybody gasps and say, yeah, I saw a guy. We need to pray for him. He was going down the road and he got his arm cut off and it was hanging down the train tracks. You know, we heard stuff like that in joys and concerns before. But that's not the meat of joys and concerns. God cares for all that and what's on our hearts and what we're concerned about. But this time is for us, we call this a Sunday morning what? Celebration. Why? Because we're celebrating what God has done in our lives through the week, and so we need to tell each other. You know, it's like Bob does when he comes and he shares what God's been doing in his prison ministry. What has God been doing in your workplace? Like Christy, sometimes, you know, we always have to get the Kleenex box because we know when she shares, she's going to cry. She's not here today, but she'll probably listen to the sermon online. But she's always sharing about how God is putting on her heart to witness to her coworkers. That's what God is doing in her life. You know, so we have to be willing to be open, but also be willing to care about the well-being of other people. And that takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy. But if we're going to do this thing, Paul says this is so key and so important. The whole book of Ephesians, pray for real fellowship. Invest in deep relationships in the lives of your brothers and sisters. The third part of real fellowship includes physical presence. Now, why was it important for Paul to send Tychicus to the church of Ephesus with this letter? Couldn't they just send it with the mail person or the Roman courier or whatever they had during those times? Just say, here's the letter from Paul, read this. He didn't do that. It was important for someone to be physically present there to love on those people, to encourage them, and bless their heart. So it takes your presence. Now, one way that we can be present in a sort of distant way is through phone calls, it's through texts. But still, that's just not the thing, same. And I think the devil has substituted that today for real friendships. You know why? Because that's convenient. I can text a brother whenever I want, right? And I can do whatever I want when I do. I don't have to take time to pay attention, look them in the eyes and say I love you and I care about you. I don't have to take time out of my schedule to go to lunch with them. I don't have to take time out of my schedule to invite them into my home. I can just send them a text. And all, while that's good, that's a way that we can stay in communication during the week, and I would encourage you to do more of that. Physical presence is important. He says, I've sent him to you in verse 22 for this very purpose, that you may know, first of all, how we are and that he can encourage your hearts. You know, the best way to encourage a brother and sister's heart is to be present in their life, is to be a part of what God is doing with them and to be physically present. In the past, maybe a year or two ago, there was a period of time when in our marriage where I was just so, I was kind of out there a little bit in La La Land a lot. And I was physically present with Tanya, sitting next to her in the easy chair or in bed at night, but I wasn't really present. My mind was off somewhere else. My mind was maybe on text and who's leaving this message and who's doing this and what's on the internet, what's the news today. Uh-huh, honey, yep, uh-huh, yep, uh-huh, uh-huh, yep, uh-huh. We have to surrender the garbage to have real relationships with one another. We have to have that focus on one another. When we say physical presence, we also say presence of mind. You know, I really hate it when, and I've probably done this to people too, but when I go and share a meal with somebody or go with somebody or they come to my house and they sit there on their phone and I'm trying to talk and they're like, just a minute, I got to send this important text, LLL, very important. If we care for one another, if we love one another, we shut down the distractions. Look somebody in the eye. Spend time with them during the week. Include them in a shopping trip. If you don't like shopping, include them in a hunting trip. If you don't like hunting, include them in a fishing trip. Whatever it is you do, there's going to be somebody that you can include as that part of your life so that you can be physically present. And I would say, you know, forget about Facebook friends. How about real friends? Facebook friends spy on you. They watch you. And they want to know what's going on in your life, but they don't want to be a part of your life. And this is what's... it's a huge problem in the church today. We've lost our social skills. We've lost how to connect with people because it's always like, you know, everybody's sitting around the dinner table doing that. Paul says, real fellowship in Christ. Thank God for his family. In the book of Ephesians, sandwiches in the middle is the new plan that God has revealed to us, the mystery of the gospel, that he's broken down dividing walls. Remember that in chapter 2? Jew and Gentile, all different races coming together under the banner of Jesus Christ and being saved by Jesus Christ. We have real fellowship and deep encouragement happens that gets to the heart. So Paul didn't say things, and I've been guilty of this. Be encouraged, brother. That really doesn't get to the heart, does it? Now, if I had spent time in God's Word praying for that person, then maybe I will have a word of substance to give to them that gets a word of encouragement that goes to the heart, that goes beyond the surface. So that's number one. Number two, he mentions is in verse 23, he says, peace be to the brothers. Now is his greeting, his prayer to the church, peace be to the brothers. You say, why would he end a book like that? When we look at what peace is in the Bible, as we already discussed a few weeks ago, and we talked about the peace of God, the shoes ready for the gospel, it's the shoes that have the traction and the cleats that keep us holding our ground, so it's inner peace, its wholeness is being healed in Jesus' name that keeps us there. But peace with God is believing faith through Jesus. That's the first part. That's peace with God, knowing that I have a relationship with Him. My sins are forgiven. God no longer holds His judgment against me because Jesus took the judgment for me. I've asked forgiveness, so I'm at peace with God. The second part of that is the peace of God, and that's our well-being and wholeness through God's presence. Now, if everybody could turn in your Bibles, and if you have an ESV Bible, just so everybody reads the same, there's ESV Bibles in your pews. If you want to open that up to Numbers chapter 6. God really cares about our well-being and our peace. And he has this blessing that's so famous. It's Aaron's blessing. In Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24. And what I'd like us to do And this is why he closes the book with praying for this. This is important. If we could stand together. And I want you to stretch your hand. If you can hold your Bible in one hand, if you're that coordinated, hold your Bible in one hand. And I want you to put a hand of blessing out towards the congregation, towards somebody today. And let's read this together and think about what it means as we read this. He says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." Now, we ought to be praying that every day for one another. That's God's blessing. God cares about having peace, because when we have peace, we live with the fire of God. You can be seated today, unless you want to stay standing if you're that on fire today. But we have peace with God and we have peace with others. Jeremiah 29:11, God's commands, we can quote that. But it talks about prosperity and it talks about having peace. It's God's peace that He gives to us. Peace with others, that's reconciliation through the Holy Spirit. And then he moves on from the word of peace to the word love in the Bible, which is a word that we use a lot. But we have to think about what that word means. He says, "Peace to be to the brothers," in verse 23 of Ephesians 6, "and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I had to stop and think for a moment. Why does he mention this whole love thing mixed faith? And if we think about that, what is faith? First of all, it's a belief in Jesus Christ, but it goes beyond just a belief. It's a trust in Jesus Christ. And so how is it that I can keep on loving if I have faith? Brothers and sisters, in another part of Ephesians says, as dearly loved children, live a life of love. If we don't realize and have a belief and a trust that God loves us, we're going to be unable to love others. Now, you can try to become best friends with me, but sooner or later, I'm going to let you down. I'm going to forget to show up. I'm going to forget to call, or I'm going to forget to do this or that. And you know, that's one thing that causes bitterness to rise up in church folks. And so then we build these walls and we stop building those relationships because we've been hurt before. But I want to say this, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, if you have such a trust that He loves you, that ain't going to matter. I just said ain't. It's not going to matter. Why? Because we're so grounded in that trust of Jesus Christ. That's what He says. Love that works is mixed with faith. So you have to put it in the blender. Have to have a belief and a strong belief in Jesus Christ and what He's done. And that gives us the power to keep on loving those unlovable people. And when unpredictable circumstances come about in our life, we have an anchor. We have Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. We have the doctrine of election. We have the doctrine of redemption. We have the doctrine of the forgiveness of sins. We have the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Those bolts that we have to hold on to so that I can keep loving other people through the storm. And that's why Paul ends his letter in this way. He says, if we're going to keep on loving, you have to remember the doctrine. It has to be grounded in belief, in faith, in trust, in what Jesus Christ has done. It's real love. And when we talk about love in the church, there's no excuse not to love, because we already know peace has been made with God. Romans 5 says God's love is poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, so we have it spiritually poured into us as we're on fire for Jesus. We have the ability to love because God first loves us. So we have that fiery passion of love because of that grace we just sang this morning. What could I say? What could I do but offer this heart? There's nothing that I can do except surrender my life because of the extravagant love that Jesus had for me. Love is a choice, not a feeling. There's a whole lot of talk about surrender this morning, wasn't there? Love willingly and sacrificially seeks the benefit of others. There was a, if I can find it here, for St. Patrick's Day, there was a particular church that had a Sunday school class, and they said, bring something green that you love. Now, probably if it were me during that time, I would have brought a shamrock shake. Because it's always sad the years that I forget that there's only a certain season you can get those. And I go through the drive-thru and, they're sorry, St. Patrick's Day was last week and we just ran out. There's no more shamrock shake left. So the next Sunday, they brought green hats, they brought green sweaters and green books. But one boy entered with an especially big grin, and she was wearing a green dress. And it was his little 4-year-old sister. He understood what love was. You know, I love shakes, and I love green hats, and I love sweaters and pink shirts that match with my wife. If you're a real man, you can wear pink, but this boy brings his sister. You say, love. Love is willing to give of ourselves to sacrifice and benefit another person. Now here, folks, is where it comes all together, if you can bear with me today. I don't even know what time it is. We had such a great time today. This is awesome, because he ties it all in together with a beautiful picture of God's grace, which, remember, in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you are saved through faith. That's not of yourself. And so he says, peace to the brothers, love with faith. He says, grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. What does he mean by that? Well, first of all, when we talk about the word grace, grace is something that we receive that we can't deserve or earn it. So no matter how hard I try to work for it, I can't earn it. No matter how hard I try to become a good person to get God's favor in my life, it can't happen. Saving grace is when God saves us spiritually and gives us a relationship with God. We all understand that. Most of us do. But then there is another area of grace, and it's called growing in grace. And this is the grace that motivates us to continue to become more like Christ. Now, how do we get more grace to pour out in our lives? Is there such a thing to get more grace than what we've already been given? Well, to answer that question, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 16. I would like someone that's bold and on fire today to stand up and read that. John chapter 1, verse 16. Who's got it? All right. From his abundance, we've all received one gracious blessing after another. Someone read it in another version. Stand up. I want to hear it again. We've received grace after grace from his fullness. Go ahead and read it in yours. Grace for grace, grace after grace. So it comes and it keeps coming and it keeps coming. And you know the channel of how it comes? He gives us in the last part of that verse, he says, grace with you, not just anybody, but he says, all who love the Lord Jesus Christ with love that's incorruptible. So when we talk about being on fire for Jesus, a question I asked you at the beginning of the sermon, where do you rate in your fire and your love for Jesus? That is directly dependent upon the grace that you'll receive. God has given us grace and salvation. Praise the Lord for that. That's more than enough. But then he says he gives us grace upon grace upon grace. It's almost like Paul is saying, do you remember what I wrote in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of all these great doctrines of the faith? This is blessing after blessing after blessing. And the way to keep accessing that and the way to allow God's grace to continue to flow in our lives is to love Jesus with every fiber of our being, is to allow him to come and move into our life and set our hearts on fire. And the only way to do that is to always focus on the cross of Jesus. Always remember that God initiated our salvation. We didn't approach God, he approached us. We didn't have a way out. Jesus, or God sent Jesus as a way out. We couldn't come up with a way. We couldn't be good enough. God sent Jesus who was good enough, who was a perfect sacrifice. That is the motivation and the power and the fire of God's love. And the second part of that is to be willing to surrender to Him and love Jesus in a community. Notice what he says there. He says, grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love. He doesn't just say one individual. He's talking about the whole church here. So there is a community aspect, there's a surrender aspect, and there is that appreciation of salvation. So loving our Lord Jesus Christ without corruption. So when we talk about something that's corrupted, what do you think of? When I say there's something that's corrupted, that's corrupt. Huh? Politicians, okay. We got plenty of choices out there this year. Bad food. What else? What do you think of when you think of corruption? Selfish motives. Huh? Not ethical. What else? Not pure. So when we look at the Greek word and literally what it means, you all hit on different nuances of it. But it is unending existence. We love Him because He first loved us. And so because He first loved us, does this God ever stop loving us? When we stay focused on that truth, when we stay focused on what this book of Ephesians talks about, we will continue to show love. And that's what we mean about keeping the fire of love for Jesus Christ going. That's why we're here. We're here not just to have another meeting. We're here to stir the fire up. Are you in love with Jesus today, brother or sister? Do you know, do you remember what God has done for you? Secondly, keep the love of Jesus being motivated by His love for you. Love Him because you want to, not because you have to. I grew up in believing that I had to love God and be a good person. God would like me if I did all these good things in my life and was good at church and kind of the way the church taught things that kind of led me to believe that. But there's a startling difference that will begin to happen in your life. And Paul says, if you get this, he says, love incorruptible. And someone mentioned love with the right motivation. We do it not because we have to, because we want to. If you're here because you have to, you might as well stay home. That's a daring thing to say because that might, you know, empty some more pews today. But in fact, I might stay home sometimes too. Look at the cross. That's why we have these worship song times that talk about the cross and what Jesus has done for us. So that we're motivated because we want to, not because we have to. And then the last thing that I think is important is that we love Jesus out of knowing that we're loved by Him completely rather than trying to earn His love. And in other words, enjoy Him. That's love incorruptible. Paul ties up the book with all the doctrine, with all the practicalities about the kingdom family, about the spiritual armor, and he says, folks, the way to keep this fire burning is to respond to God's love. Is to be incorrupt in your love for Jesus. So how about you today? If your meter is low and your fiery passion for Jesus, do something about it. You can, because Jesus died on the cross. He's given us all these encouraging words. So if your meter's low, read through the book of Ephesians again, cover to cover in one setting. So now you can see how Paul ties everything together and be encouraged to live a life of love for the brothers and sisters. But most of all, if we love Jesus like there's no tomorrow, there's no telling what God can do through our workplaces, through our schools, through our places of influence. You know, we throw these phrases around in Christianity. Man, that person's on fire for God. What do we mean for that? We mean that they're just in love with Jesus so much that they don't care what anybody thinks. They're going to share the word. They're just so excited to be in church. They're so excited to learn the Bible. They're so excited to pray. They're motivated with the power of God. That is what it means to be on fire with God. It is love in corruptible. It's love that's endless. It's love that's pure. It's love that has the right motive, that I can do nothing to earn God's love, but that He's poured it out upon me on the cross. If we could close our eyes and just have a time of prayer today. Just want to encourage you to begin to thank God this morning for His grace. Just begin to thank Him in your own heart, or if you want to do it out loud, fine. That's a house of prayer. In public place, we speak things out loud. That God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. God, we know what we're not yet what we need to be, but we thank you for initiating the gospel in our lives. Thank you for pouring out all these spiritual blessings. Thank you for giving us the kingdom family. Thank you for giving us the spiritual armor and all these tools. But Lord, we ask today that you bring our hearts to a place of surrender, that we would love you more than any other person or any other thing in our lives, because you're the one that saved our very lives, and you're the one that saves our soul from hell. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name today, Lord, and I pray that you'd grip every person's heart with the reality of your love and grace. Thank you, Jesus. We sing that chorus just with our eyes closed. Oh, how I love Jesus because He first loved. Just offer that up to Him with all your heart today. Let's stand together. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Sing it again. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. We love you, Jesus. We love you, we love you, we love you, Lord. We ask that you'd set our hearts on fire with your living flame of love. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for this great book that you've instructed us in. And God, I pray that we would all lay it to heart and help each other grow in it. In Jesus' mighty, powerful name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.